Greetings, lovely listeners. You are listening to Saga, a podcast where a dude and a chick discuss art and animation.
Thank you for tuning in to Saga Podcast. I'm here with Sarah. And today we're going to be talking about a couple of animated shorts. The first being...
Am I supposed to say that?
Sorry.
In a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat. Second one being, Here's the Plan.
Spoiler alert. This audio may contain spoilers, so please proceed with caution or an open mind. I don't care.
So the first one is... basically about this this closeted boy who has a crush on this other boy, and his heart like yearns for this other kid. What were your like first impressions of this?
I automatically know that there's going to be an audience out there somewhere. This is going to be a highly political cartoon. But let me tell you right now, I'm going to stop you right now and say no, it's not, because there are other people on this planet that live separate lives from you, and just because there's a gay person does not mean that it's political. Okay? All right, glad we cleared that up.
Also, like the creators originally, like it was supposed to be like a boy and a girl, but last minute they changed it to like two boys. And it really was just kind of on a whim, because their reasoning was they thought that it would like add another layer, like because the boy felt like he couldn't express himself because, you know, like it's his crush, but also because he didn't want to come out, like he was afraid to come. So like it added an extra layer that the first one wouldn't have had.
I like that. See, that's the thing. It's like, I know so many people I grew up with who never really came out as gay until college, or like they did come out in high school, but they were rejected by so many people. So it's already hard enough, you know, like, let's show some love.
Anyway, this short came out in 2017 and was funded on Kickstarter by Beth David and Esteban Bravo. They raised over like $14,000. Their goal was like $3,000, so they got pretty well over their goal.
And that's really good for like a 5-minute short.
Right, and they got lots of offers after this short. It has like over, I think, 12 million on YouTube or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good. It's like a very good little slice of life short. There's no words in this, you know, nobody really speaks in this. It's to the background of some kind of like fun music, you know, like it just kind of goes along with the mood of whatever the characters are doing. And there's really only two main characters in this, but for some reason, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but when the two main characters are in like the hallway, at the school, they show a bunch of students looking down on them, you know, and like they're like grasping for the heart and it breaks. But one of the students that's looking down on them looks exactly like the boy that the red hair boy has a crush on.
Wait, so
like they didn't even bother to make another character. They just like cut and pasted like the other protagonist in the background.
Right. So I wonder if like what you said about the kids looking down on Red, was that like Red's perception of what was happening? He had this idea of how he thought people would treat him after experiencing that, or like did it actually happen?
That's a good point. Perception is everything.
Yeah, because like he ran away and like the heart like broke apart, but the other kid seemed to reciprocate, so that's why I'm like, was that just like what he thought happened, or was it actually
I don't know. That's a good point. I think that this was such a good, like, little story of, like, a crush, you know? Like, I'm kind of glad that they didn't choose to do a girl, because that makes me think, like, okay, yeah, that's super relatable for me, you know, but for all the, like, young men out there, or young boys that are, like, crushing really hard on a boy, I'm sure this is, like, super awakening for them.
Sure, but like what this story represents, it's like it kind of comes with more of like a risk factor, because it's still kind of like not as accepted, so there's that kind of risk to it. So I don't know, it's not really for me to say, I guess. But the heart, which we haven't really spoken about, that heart was gonna make him catch a case, definitely.
That
like, he was like, the heart was trying to like grope him and like touching him and stuff.
It's molesting him, like, right. That's what the heart will do, you know, like, because I'm sure you remember, like, having crushes on people, like, the only thing you want to do is just be like, or like, sometimes you just like want to stare at that person. It's super creepy, but you still do it.
Yeah, especially at that age, so everything is kind of like heightened and like new.
Right. These emotions and hormone junk just floating around in the air.
Any final thoughts on this one?
Actually, that just made me think, like, the heart is a really good metaphor for hormones floating around in the air.
Why is that?
Because it's, like, it just, like, floats. Like, it just jumps around. Super cute, but kind of unpredictable.
Thinking about it, why is it the heart that represents, like, love and stuff, when like the chemicals come out of your brain?
Ooh, should I look this up? Because I know that there's something for it. I think it goes back to like the ancient Egyptians.
Are you gonna look it up or?
Yeah, here, hold on, Google.
Yeah, because like maybe it's like the heart is like pumping and with excitement or something.
Okay, here's something from Huffington Post. Ancient Egyptians, for instance, believed that the heart epitomized life and morality. The Greeks held that it controlled reason, thought, and emotion. It's possible that the Greek association of ivy with the god Dionysus, the god of sensual things, led to the heart being identified with romantic love.
So Egypt, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the more you know.
Yes.
Final thoughts?
Really good. Short. It's very Disney-like. The characters, the backgrounds, everything. Even, you know, like Pixar maybe is a really good kind of representation of what the animation style is like. It is in 3D. Super short. Just a really good, like, passion piece.
Yeah. Like, show, like, if you're a parent, maybe, like, show your gay child this, and like maybe it'll give them, like, inspire them or something. If you are like a teen gay person, like, hopefully this inspired you or something.
Inspire you to go molest other children.
No, don't do that. The next one.
Yeah.
Here's the plan. It's like an 18-19 minute short about this young happy couple with dreams of opening their own bakery, but like things sort of don't go as planned. Their oven breaks down, and they take on jobs so they can afford a new oven so they continue with their bakery. But you know, there's a dilemma in that: should they keep their life, their like stable new life, or should they like leave their comfortable new lives for uncertainty of their true passion?
Yeah, that's really a good way of putting it, because that's pretty much all it's about, is like whether or not the couple should leave their like the state of stability that they're in for venturing into the unknown. I thought it was very sweet, and it had like layers to it, because it's super relatable to like adults, you know, like do your project today, otherwise you may not get a chance tomorrow. I thought it was gonna start out being like up, you know, like how it's super sad and like somebody loses, you know, somebody dies, but thankfully it wasn't that sad, you know?
It was like a sad that is more relatable, I think. Because, like, with Up, it's like they're old and they live a full life. So maybe, like, you can't really understand the scope of that unless you had a love since you were, like, a kid and then grew old with them. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you had a long life with a certain person and they die. But with this, everyone has dreams, and like a lot of people like have to put them on hold. The inevitable things like that life throws at you, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's really like the whole scope of this short. I mean, it's a pretty long short too. It's probably like 13 to 15 minutes, I think. And I mean, there were a lot of things I was like, why is this even happening? Like, for example, their stove explodes. Like, as soon as they're like, oh yeah, like, let's do our dream, their stove unironically, like, explodes. And so they can't make their cupcakes anymore until they can afford to buy a new one. So they have to get jobs. Okay, so yeah, okay. This is why this is so layered. Like, they get married. They're like, oh yeah, let's do this dream. Let's do it right now. They try to make the cupcakes. They can't make the cupcakes because their stove explodes. So they're like, okay, well, we need jobs to buy a new stove or oven to be able to make the cupcakes. And then they just never stop working. And then 6 years later, they're like, well, our marriage is a sham because we still haven't done the thing we set out to do originally. So let's just end it. And yeah, and then they reconcile. And they create a bakery.
Like the guy was a little more like he kept the vision of the bakery in his mind. Not like he still wanted to like do it, but the wife, like she's the one that kind of forgot about it more.
Which normally it's like the opposite, right? Or like stereotypically, it's like the opposite.
Sure, and following up with that, the creator of this short, Fernanda Frick, she was actually like watching a lot of movies and was tired of the portrayal of like how like husbands were like slow and like slavish and the wives were manipulative and things like that. So like she wanted to make like a healthy relationship and like sort of like subvert the stereotypes, like the tropes of like husbands and wives, film and television.
I like that. I think it was a very healthy relationship, you know? I kind of wish that they were able to work it out more in the end, but it seemed like it was really, really good for the female character, the wife, to be able to see like, okay, like he's actually gonna leave me. If I don't do something right now, he's gonna leave me. And her reconciliation was like, I'm just gonna destroy this wall right here. It's gonna go down.
I like how they just have a sledgehammer lying around.
She pulled that out quick too.
Yeah, it's in their bedroom apparently. I don't know what they use it for, but they have it.
Right. And then one thing I really enjoyed about this short was that it had great 3D animation with excellent textures. Like, it was almost like it was like a chalky kind of style, you know what I mean? And the lighting always changed with the mood of the short. So like it was really important to pay attention to every single move so that you could fully understand like the entire spectrum of what was happening. That's one thing I love about film. Like, people take for granted how important lighting is, but it's super important.
Certainly. Yeah, this film really like had an atmosphere about it, and a lot of the times that they were like in a dark home, you know, like it almost seemed like when they weren't doing their passion, the house was like blue and dark, but when they spoke about what they wanted to do, it was like more bright and like warm color.
That's right, yeah.
But this is a film that came out in 2017 from Chile, actually. And fun fact about this, the characters were actually voiced by real-life couple Alex and Lee Butera, who own an animation business. That's pretty cool.
That is so cool. So special. That speaks volumes about this, the short, because it speaks right to the heart of the people who made it.
Yeah, you can tell there was like lots of like love and care and attention put into this, and it has a really nice message. I really liked it.
Right. Now, there were a couple of things I was like, but I wish that they did this. Like, I don't know how an oven, for one, explodes like that. You know, like, it's just, this is craziness of life. So I guess this is kind of coincides with life naturally. But like, how does an oven explode like that? And, you know, like, who knocks down a whole wall? And where are their tails? Like, it's a cat and a doge, and neither of them have tails. I was kind of disappointed that they didn't have tails.
Well, neither do, like, BoJack Horseman characters, so that's okay. So that's that. And I think, like, there was another animal thing. No, Beastars, they had tails.
Yeah, they had tails.
Why did she knock the wall down? Did I miss that?
To really make a point. Like, she said, like, I don't need this house, I don't need this life, you know, I just need you. Like, that was, like, the quote, pretty much. Not entirely verbatim, but in gist. And so she was trying to make a point, like, I will destroy this whole house just so that we can still maintain our relationship.
Yeah, especially now, because I think they said they haven't, like, baked in, like, 6 years. So they've been, like, working and, like, building up their income. They live in, like, a nice house now. So they're pretty comfortable to, like, start their own business now at this point. But what's interesting about this story about, like, people, you know, pursuing their passions, I think this is even more important now, or like, more, like, something to consider now, because the time that we're living in now, it's like people, like, small time, like, small businesses are losing business. It's been really rough for, like, people to, like, continue to do what they've, like, poured blood, sweat, and tears into.
Yeah. Thankfully, the entertainment industry has not lost any momentum. I mean, for the most part, there's a lot of projects that have been put on hold because they can't work on them in the office. But there's a lot of smaller companies, like studios especially, that have decided just to send their employees home with equipment and say, hey, look, do what you can from home.
Yeah, I guess so. AMC Theaters, like, I've been hearing some stuff about them. Like, they're really suffering, but yeah.
Well, I think, like, okay, so I know we weren't adding Trolls 2 to our list, I think. I think, is it Trolls 2? The World Tour movie. But the producers of that have decided just to release it digitally everywhere versus being, you know, having to go to a theater and seeing it traditionally. They're just like, nope, just release it digitally, because they put so much time, so much money, and so much effort into this movie. They're like, dude, we have to make money off of this. There's no way. And I think that might be a new trend, you know, like, I don't know if it's going to be like a trend, like it's only going to last for such a small amount of time, but what if we, you know, no longer had theaters?
Well, back to the Trolls thing, they actually, their opening weekend made pretty good money. Like, they made like $30 million. Yeah, like $30 million.
Wow.
Yeah, so it could be a trend, kind of like 3D after Avatar. Like, that kind of caught on, and like 3D was a big thing. But as for like theaters going out of business, like there's still like something about, like, there are like pros and cons to like a theater experience. You have to deal with people
right, overpriced popcorn.
Right.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying it's a good thing to like lose that, because it's such a nostalgic feeling to be able to go to the theater. But there are times when, you know, especially for this podcast we do, that I wish that I could just watch it at home versus having to go to the theater. But, you know, if you're a family and you want to go out and do something, I'm sure it's really, really nice to be able to see it in the actual theater in a public space with other people. It's like a shared experience.
Right. Yeah. But you can do that at home too, though. But
that's true.
But like it's something about like the surround sound with like a big screen. It's an experience.
Right, right.
But to your point that you made about like it's like sometimes being inconvenient for us, is that something like VOD would be nice for us, like for me at least, to where like I like to take notes and stuff, and it's kind of hard to see dark room.
Right. So. For the new releases, yeah, there's a lot of things in my notes that I don't get to write down that I wish I could because of that exact reason. Like, you can't pause it either, you know?
Right, exactly. And you can only,
sorry, go ahead.
And you can only watch it once, but for like renting stuff, you usually have like 24 to 48 hours, and you can watch it as many times as you want. So there's also that too.
Right. Yeah. So, but yeah, going back to the Here's the Plan one, I think it was a really good animation. There's something else I wanted to add. Oh, well, for, you know, like their names are Cat and Doug. Like they said that in the credits, and I had to laugh at that because I kept calling them Cato and Doggo, and you don't find out their names until the very end when it says it in the credits about who voiced them. So their names are Cat and Doug.
Anything else?
Excellent animation. Go watch it. Go watch both of these shorts.
Totally. Well, anyway, thanks for watching, or not watching, you're listening. Thanks for doing that. Next time we're going to be talking about The Willoughbys, which is like a new animated Netflix thing coming out soon, so stay tuned for that.
When's that come out?
The 22nd.
Perfect. Tomorrow's 420, y'all. Enjoy. Thank you for listening to Saga Podcast, where we talk about animation and animation things. This is your favorite co-host, Sarah, and I would like to remind you before you head off that we do have a Twitter, a Facebook, an Instagram, a website, and soon to be a Patreon. So if you could reach out to us, leave us a comment, a review, anything that you like, and we will appreciate all of it. Otherwise, have a wonderful week, and we will see you next time.